Hello, it's Connor here, and thank you for subscribing to the SAFcast on Patreon. You'll get early access to episodes such as this, as well as bonus episodes, and also the opportunity to request your own show topics. So thank you for subscribing and enjoy the show. I'm here with Niall Murphy, chair of Club Antrima. Niall, how's it going with you?
All good. Thanks very much for having me on the SAFcast. That's a brilliant medium and a great mechanism to publicise and promote TAFers and Antrim. So well done you for having the initiative to get it up and going.
Oh no, thanks very much. Thank you for that. I suppose if we look in for yourself now as chair of Club Antrima, and I kind of would like to go back to September 2019, so whenever the relaunch obviously of Club Antrima had been going since the mid-2000s before that, wasn't it? But it was kind of that revitalization, I suppose, of the fundraising wing of the county.
Yeah, so 2006 I think Club Antrima was originally set up by great people, good Gaels, Fergal and his brother Frank, Michael Hatton, in Belfast, my own club mate, Eamon Prenter as well, who had a lot to do as a town planner with the Dunsilly project. They were initial founding members, Paul McCann as well, former club treasurer, or county treasurer, rather. They set up the sort of governance architecture of Club Antrima. Club Antrim is a registered charity, which is a very difficult thing to constitute. So we benefit from a strong, well-organized constitutional basis, as it were. And the guys had done great work from setting it up and keeping the project running. But with everything, life intervenes, and I think there were some changes in personnel over the years, and the people that we assumed responsibility from had been stewarding the organisation very, very well. We took over a project in good shape, and we felt that it could benefit from some new ideas, some renewal. It maybe had been less active in the last couple of years than might otherwise have been the case. We obviously also benefit from the self-run business forum in the county, which is a huge and exceptional project that generates exceptional resource for affairs within the county. And we sort of see Club Antrima as part of a wider setup. If you are a business and want to project your business within a business community in Antrim, and certainly within Belfast, the self-run business forum is the place to do that. But if you are the man on the street, not every Gael in Antrim is a member of a club. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of men, women and children that just like to come watch our county teams. And Club Antrim is an exceptional way to do that. You can join at grassroots level, £10 per month, and really feel part of the team. And we support all codes with a four code ethos, but also to promote and hopefully inspire all Gaelic activity in the county, be that scoring an og, handball, coming the Munskill, which has been rejuvenated. You might benefit from speaking to some of those guys. Very, very great work that's underway there. And obviously we've got Gaelfast. So, you know, I really do think that all the pieces are on the chessboard to move everything in the county to the next level.
Yeah, and
it's a privilege to be a part of.
Yeah, and user sponsoring or in the front of the jerseys then as well. I saw from launch last year too. So yeah, right through the grassroots, I suppose.
Absolutely, you know. Seamus with Tuma, who's involved with coming to Moscow, and Paddy Shivers, we're good friends. And, you know, when you see the young lads going on, and it's the biggest day of their lives, we primary school children, and their parents, big time for their parents, and they're talking out in a jersey that might be 10 or 12 years old, and some of the numbers aren't all there, and they might be coming up against another team that looks the part. And it's a lot of this is about setting standards.
Yeah.
And if the child knows that he's wearing the same jersey that Mick McCann or Conor McCann's wearing, he feels 10 feet tall, and it makes his day a better day. It makes his parents' day a better day. And, you know, you're building memories there with the young kids that are passionate, and they're the next generation. We're only stewards. We're only the current people that are holding on to things. And it's all about, you know, inspiring the next generation. And that was a small token, but, you know, it had a very wide effect. It went down very well with our wider membership, and it resulted in a lot of new sign-ups. We got a bit of coverage in Irish News, and, you know, it was money well spent, not only in doing the right thing by the primary school children, but it was also good for Club Intima, because it brought us to the wider attention again, and I suppose that's a lot of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and that there sort of partnership or even collaboration that you've been doing, Club Intrema, you've mentioned Gaelfast, you've mentioned Saffron Business Forum, and they're all ultimately the same goal, but are very much targeting different target audiences with what they're doing there. How do you find that collaboration? I'm sure everybody is, you know, aiming for the same thing.
Yep, the synergy is perfect. Everybody knows what constituency they're aiming for.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll come across an opportunity and I think that it might be best placed that Saffron Business Forum cultivate the relationship, and I'll ring Tony Shivers and tell him there's a business here and they want to provide some strong support. Equally, you know, there's people that might come to Saffron Business Forum events as guests, perhaps. The business lunch in May usually is an exceptional day in the calendar. We've had fantastic guest speakers, Tony McCoy, Henry Shefflin, Kieran Donaghy over the years. And, you know, there's lads there that will think, I like the feel of this. You know, this is going the right way. But, you know, I don't have £100 per month in my pocket to join a Saffron Business Forum. And therefore, Club Intima is there, you know, to take him and promote the relationship that way. So there's a level to support for every economic means. You know, if you're a big business, Saffron Business Forum. If you're a guy that just man on the street wants to support Antrim, come and join Club Antrim.
Yeah, and you find even globally, so like I suppose, you know, Saffron's abroad and that there, like, is it like, do you find a lot of global support as well, like people from across the world that would get involved in terms of taking up membership as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a very prominent member in Florida, and we're currently trying to arrange an exchange trip so that we can go out and evangelize about all that's good in the county in Florida. John DeNovo, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Sean Kelly has a good relationship with him. Sean Kelly's obviously been brought on as Club Intima's new PRO. I thought he was too.
He's a bit of pedigree there.
He's a bit of pedigree. We thought he was too good to farm out the retirement. So Sean's doing great work for us, and we're delighted to have him. And you get a continuum of relationships there, because it's one wider family, and it's just about bringing everybody and pointing them in their one direction.
Yeah. Whenever you look back at kind of, I suppose if you go back to that relaunch, how did that come about then to do that kind of bit of a splash around it? And obviously you mentioned that it was there, but I suppose it was that freshness of that, like how, you know, that you got involved yourself in the current sort of management committee of it.
Yeah, well, you know, my club mate, Kieran McCallum, is a county chair. He's obviously one of the best friends. We would play football and hurling together from no hit. And, you know, friend and neighbour, and he asked me. So I know the work that he's doing. I know the hours a week that he puts in away from his own business. And when he asks you to do something, you pretty much just do it. You can't really say no. So delighted to be asked as well. It's a privilege to contribute anything towards the county, no matter what it is. And we've worked together ourselves in our own club, driving the club forward in terms of club development. So I know him inside out. He knows me inside out. We work well together. And he felt that I was, you know, maybe had something to offer in terms of rejuvenating Club Intrema. And hopefully that's what we're doing. Because we had pretty much a brand new board, Kieran Kearney from Cushion Doll stayed on just to provide a bit of continuity in terms of relationships with banks and passcodes for different social media and things like that, and the Charities Commission, most importantly. And Kieran was exceptional in smoothing the transition, as were all the previous members, always at the end of a phone. And really, we're now strong up on our own 2 feet, and we've brought new people in, all contributing in their own way. Sambo up in Cushion Doll has come in as an ambassador, as has Jane Adams from Rossa. Mm-hmm. And you know, as all social relationships do these days, we have a WhatsApp group. And once we were able to get the mechanism to join Club Intrema just through your mobile phone, it's fantastic. We had a bit of a competition in the WhatsApp group who could get the most members signed up, and Jane Adams won.
I was about to say there'd be plenty of competitiveness anyway with that group.
You know, the competitiveness came straight out, and with a whole new swathe of Rossa orientated camogues that have joined Club Intrema. And no, it's good. It's great. We've about 125, 130 members at the minute. And that's growing all the time. We've doubled our membership in the first year. And, you know, there's a pandemic on. Absolutely appreciate that. But once things hopefully get back to some semblance of normality, we'll be able to drive it forward again.
Yeah, and I suppose there's something you would have benefited there of is would be kind of that good feel factor that's been going on in the county there in 2020 with the performances of the county team. So a lot of the players I've spoken to, whether it was Camogues or hurlers or footballers, any of them I've spoken to, that they've talked about how the other teams, the other codes, how they've been getting on has kind of been driving them on as well. Obviously the hurlers, brilliant year last year, Camogues getting the All-Ireland final, and ladies footballers got the semi-final at All-Ireland. And I know the footballers probably the potential there now with Enda McGinley in charge, like, you know, that kind of good feeling there is around Antrim is something that, you know, undoubtedly people are more likely to support. And that's something that I suppose from your point of view, that it's the right time for people to get involved.
Yeah, it's just about harnessing energy.
Yeah.
And when there's a wave of optimism and positivity, it's about trying to make as much of that as is possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the footballers were a kick of the ball away from being in Division 3, if they had the drew with Wicklow that day up in Glenavy, and, you know, one ball going over the bar as opposed to Wade, and we're in Division 3. Sorry, it wasn't Wicklow, it was
Carlo, wasn't it?
Carlo. You know, so one game and that league turns out different for us, and every optimism that things will go well next year. But the hurlers going so well was magnificent in your fledgling year to get things moving again. One of the initiatives that we decided that we wanted to contribute something, we didn't want to just be taking people's subs. We wanted to make an actual difference to the enjoyment of our games, and one way that we thought that we might be able to do that was to reintroduce a quality match program.
Yeah.
And there was two aspects to that. One, as a patron attending the match, you had a substantive program in your hand with you know, maybe some interesting articles or more about the players.
Yeah.
And we undertook to do player profiles in every program, at least two. But that also feeds back to the players that it reinforces the seriousness of a National League match. Maybe some of the younger lads who maybe hadn't been around the panel as long as, you know, Neil McManus or Paddy Cunningham, you know, seeing their own profile and, you know, trying to instill a bit of mutual confidence that way, and introducing lads like that to supporters. So we feel that that was the feedback was exceptional. We feel that the programs were a very positive thing to do, and it made money as well. You know, we sold some sponsorship. You learn sometimes we printed too many programs. Sometimes the boot of my car was filled with them.
A few souvenirs.
but they all just went out to Guildfast. None went in the bin.
Yeah.
And next year, hopefully, if we get playing games again, we'll do that again. And we also took the opportunity in the pages of the programs to showcase all the exceptional work that's going on in our clubs. The capital developments that are happening in some of the clubs would really make you proud. Sarsfields have done great work over the years with their main pitch. They've seated stands there, albeit not covered, of the 4G, new changing rooms. Rossa have a new stand. The Davits development is as good as you will see.
And that's where you went up for your, sorry, just on your relaunch photo, actually, yeah, Davids, that's where you chose for that.
We thought that was the best place to announce a renewal, the heart of Beachmount, the heart of the Falls Road, on a place that hasn't benefited from, a venue and resources like Davids are now being able to provide. And I've taken juvenile hurling teams in St. Enda's over the years, and one of the clubs that we would have a brilliant relationship with is Davits, because they're doing the work, and you can see it in their kids, and it's just a great bunch of lads who take the team. So under 10, 12, 14 over the last couple of years, Micheál O'Brien, Alan Rainey, good fellas, and to see, you know, Davits as a club providing the venue and the resources for those kids to go on. Davits are going to be a fixture, I think, in senior championship hurling football in about 5 years' time, perhaps. And that's great to see another club pulling itself up by its own bootstraps. And, you know, once you have a fixed venue, once you've got your own green grass, the world's your oyster, and now they do have that.
And, like, for you, whenever you're involved with that, and you mentioned about the kind of committee that you have that's run there, and looking at the names that on there, like, you know, there's a good spread of clubs as well. You know, it's North Antrim, it's Belfast, you know, you've got in there as well. What sort of new plans, I suppose, looking ahead, like if you've had to do to maybe adapt to the current situation? Now, I know the programs, for example, went digital. People are getting digital copies of them and things like that. Yeah. But what's kind of, I suppose, we don't really know what the season's going to look like in 2021, but how does an organisation like Clubby Interim adapt to that?
Yeah, well, you've hit the nail on the head immediately. We went digital with the match day programmes, and with a database there, I would get the programme probably on the late in the Friday, and would just time an email to go out half an hour before the match. And, you know, WhatsApp is a great thing as well. You get to flick it around, and it did travel well for us. But also, you know, last year's club championships were revelatory in the live broadcasts that the county were able to provide. And everybody knows the viewing figures were astronomical. But they all cost money too. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'm cognizant of our four code ethos, that we seen an opportunity with the ladies football county final and the Camogie county final. Mm-hmm. And we stepped in and offered to sponsor the cost of that, just to make sure that those important matches were going to achieve the same prominence as the hurling football. And, you know, that it went down very well and was very much appreciated, and we were just delighted to help. We also helped with the Camogie team at the All-Ireland final. We made a significant contribution to their costs, and again, they were delighted to receive it. And, you know, that's what we're about. I take as much enjoyment from, you know, providing those resources to success stories in the county, be it a primary school team or the Camogie team. And it was a you know, it's great to spend the money as well as to receive it.
Yeah. But
probably the most significant undertaking that we did last year was the senior hurling yearbook.
Yeah.
And we had a fair idea that the last game against Meath, we weren't going to lose it. And so we had a bit of groundwork done in terms of some sponsors that we wanted to approach. But at the same time, we didn't want to publicise it until the final whistle had gone, because the last thing, you know, you didn't want to write Meath's half-time team talk for them. But we had a strategy to deploy immediately on the final whistle. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the goodwill that is in Antrim. We appealed for sponsors to get behind a yearbook to raise money for the Ireland final for the team. And the response was overwhelming. You know, over 40 businesses took out full pages, you know, same again in half pages. The clubs that provided messages of goodwill. It was a humbling experience, and we were able to turn that around in 5 days.
Yeah.
And you know, got the thing ready for print. We were able to call upon all of the magnificent sports journalists that are working in Belfast and Antrim. Brendan Cross in the Irish News, Brendan McTaggart in the Saffron Gael, David Mohan in the Andersonstown News. And we, through all of our relationships that we've built up over the years, Davy Fitz loves Antrim and was happy to do an interview, as was Kieran Kingston, good friend of Sambo's. He actually came up to St Enda's when we were preparing for the Ulster Intermediate Final last year. Mm-hmm. And just talking about their own experience as hurling men and how they admire what's going on in Antrim historically and presently. And that you know, that it lent itself to a good document, over 100 pages. To be able to produce that, get the content finalized, get all the advertising in, get it printed, and get it out to the clubs in the 2 week window from the Meath match to the final was a huge undertaking, but very enjoyable, and raised us enough money that we were able to make a very significant contribution to Darren's preparation, and also to the Camogues as well. And we had money left over to put towards Club Antrim. So, you know, hard work, but what else would you be doing? It was good work to be doing.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a wee bit of a piece of history as well, if you think about it, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, and the kids probably getting it as well around Christmas time and all that too. It's kind of goes along with what you're saying earlier, sorry.
Yeah, it was part of the thing. We wanted it as a Christmas present, because to generate a bit of razzmatazz around the team. And, you know, it was filled with player profiles. So every single player in the panel had his photograph and, you know, all about the player. I remember when I was a kid, my dad was from Armagh, so we had went to all the Armagh football matches. I could have told you what weight and even how that team from the 80s was, what they studied at university, how many medals they had, did they play County Manor, what club they were at, you know, and you know, some of that interaction and relationship with the players has been lost in recent, this century probably. You know, the match programme hasn't been as significant a feature as it might otherwise have been, but it was to just promote that support for the player. And hurlers wear helmets these days. You know, you can walk past most of our county team or most county hurlers and not recognise them because they're wearing helmets. So, you know, part of that as well was just generate a bit of recognition and a bit of respect for the time that county players put in on our behalf to give us the enjoyment to go and watch and support them.
Yeah, and you, I suppose from off the back of that there, you integrate it well with clubs on that too. You mentioned about obviously the club messages and, you know, the clubs doing their bit, you know, selling to their members and all as well. And I imagine it was very easy to get buy-in from across the county on that.
Yeah, as tight a couple of weeks as it was, it wasn't easy. We're pushing an open door, you know. Antrim in the All-Ireland hurling final day. Mm-hmm. You know, first time since 1989. Magnificent occasion. Such a pity that we couldn't attend in our droves, but we all watched the television. And to have that document that will now become part of Antrim's GAA history is nice to have been a part of. Again, the synergy between us and the Saffron Business Forum. The Saffron Business Forum undertook their own venture and the Up for the Match program on YouTube the night before with Johnny Tosh and Mark Sabottom and Shane Elliott was just brilliant crack.
It was real.
I sat and watched it in the house here with a couple of beers. It was just a brilliant night's crack. And all of that, the book, the Up for the Match, lent itself to the sense of the occasion that we are in an All-Ireland final. And we're unbeaten. The Kerry, we're a banana skin playing them for the fourth time. Yeah. It's rare you beat a team four times in a row. But, you know, it went well on the day.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the main thing. And actually, any of the players I've spoken to since then, they've mentioned about how on the day, like, it was always going to be a different Kerry they were facing, you know, so they were very well aware of that there going into it. And I think it just showed as well with the way Kerry set up on that game. But I know from watching it, you'd think, okay, we've beaten them three times already, but the nervousness was there, you know, going into it, and especially somehow going in a point down at half time in it.
I know. Oh, it was a great game.
Aye. You mentioned obviously about your club and St. Enda's there, and I suppose change focus here a wee bit, like using the last couple of years you mentioned about the development. I was talking to Sean O'Neill from Davids, and I was talking to him about the kind of facilities and all that they're doing, and obviously yourselves, you obviously have had, you know, dual success in recent years with the intermediate championships in football and hurling there. You yourself are involved with the hurling management then 2021, so
signed up.
One of those ones where it's just you're back in and you could say no.
Yeah. Mickey McCambridge has agreed to manage the senior hurling team for us this year, and he gave me a call. Would have become involved, and I wasn't looking forward to telling the wife, but I was delighted. to get the call, if truth be told, and you know, my approach to anything like that is if you're asked, you do it. It's a privilege to be asked, and I'm looking forward to being about a senior hurling team again. I stopped playing probably 9-10 years ago, and I've just been involved in an underage team since.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own sons obviously as well, so you know, your life intervenes, but I'm looking forward to getting back around a senior hurling team again and enjoying the crack and putting our wits against the best that the county has to offer. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and what about and for the club then in general? Like, is I suppose the kind of level of investment that's going into in terms of time and those we talked about the facilities and all as well there and the kind of the I suppose it's kind of that club atmosphere anyway, that if I'm from the outside looking in, that there's in St. Enda's there's a lot of investment in that kind of area and that kind of community ethos there. Right throughout the club, is there just sort of a good feeling there at the minute? And obviously the hurlers and footballers in recent years, like that doesn't do any harm in kind of inspiring the younger generations.
Absolutely. Our club at the minute is just such a privilege to be a part of. It's the outworking of 15 years work, if not more. Any club is just to be open and in business from one year to the next is testament to the work that has gone on previously. But in terms of where we're at, we came from a very dark place. We had been, you know, when I was growing up, my father was chairman of St. Enda's in 1979-81. And the calls that we would have got to the house were, there's a bomb tied to the gate, or the clubhouse has been blew up again. And to go from the drastic dark days of the 90s where, you know, so many of our members were murdered. Our senior football manager was murdered at the club on the 5th of December 1997, Jerry Devlin. Our club president was murdered in his home at the bottom of the street from the club, bottom of High Town Road. Sean Fox in October 1983. Jared Lawler, 18-year-old boy, was shot dead in July 2002. Another young lad just from the area, Gavin Brett, was killed at the bottom of the lane in a drive-by shooting where we think that they were looking for a St. Enda's person. And Gavin Brett was killed in July 2001. So very, very dark times. No strong atmosphere within the club, but we were not numerous in number. Many people stayed away from us. But there was a spirit there forged that could never be broken. And that core spirit from the people that kept the club alive in the 90s and the early 2000s has really driven the club forward since. I can remember an AGM where, you know, we couldn't fill our officer board, and there was a motion at the AGM, mischievous as it was, but it was to spark a reaction. You know, do we wind the club up? Now, we were never going to wind the club up. Of course we weren't.
Yeah.
But we can't, we don't have a PRO, we don't have a treasurer. You know, who's going to do the job? Who's going to be responsible for us next year? And we filled that officer board of the committee, and from there, from strength to strength, the facilities we have are unrivaled. We've 3 grass pitches, 2 championship size pitches, a juvenile pitch that only under 12s are allowed to sit foot on, and that's floodlit as well. And this year we opened a £2 million community hall, Hala Aina, that has an indoor 4G pitch and the largest wall ball in Ireland, and it's floodlit as well. We've plans for a gym to go into the basement of the Hala. And also over the past 15 years, the club has grown in tandem with an Irish medium primary school on site, Gael Scolena, myself and Kieran McCavanagh, and another friend, Dara Woods, the 3 founding trustees of the nursery in 2004. So not long after that AGM, and one of the initiatives that we got involved in was, well, let's grow the Gaelic ethos in Glengormley in our community. We opened an e-school in 2004 with 7 children. Opened Gael Scolena in 2007 with 10 P1s. And today, if you were on site, there's 260 children being educated in our own language. Their school uniform is black with a white shirt and a yellow and black tie. They wear the St. Enda's crest, our motto, and the school is called Gael Scolena. It's on our site. So you have 260 children whose first formative memory in life is our green fields, playing our sports, speaking our language. And last year we had 43 P1s at Gael Scolena. Gael Scolena is one of the smaller schools in the Glengormley area. There are 3 other Catholic schools, all of which are bigger. Park Lodge is just down the Antrim Road, which is a huge school, 800 pupils. So our catchment is phenomenal. But out of all those schools, the largest number of children who are members of St. Enda's are from Gael Scolena. So a very high Gaelic ethos. I think the Gaelfast survey that set Gaelfast up, actually, I was involved in that as well. Revealed that in primary schools in Belfast there was a identity with the GAA at about 5%, and at Gael Scolena we're confident that it's over 50% of our pupils are also members of the club, and that synergy and joined up approach. You know, Gael Scolena will host a Glengormley primary schools competition, so St. Mary's in the Hills, St. Bernard's, Park Lodge, St. Magnesi's will all come up and play off. And it's just fantastic to see all the parents, all the teachers coming up during the day. And you see the wee rivalries amongst the lads that you would see at under 8, you know, and it's just all of that works well together. And in terms of strategic development, you know, we have invested so much in the club's facilities. The two new pitches were built 2012-2013, and as I say, Halla Aina is a project 4 or 5 years in the running. Kieran was heavily involved in that. Kieran McCabna, Seamus McDonald, our new club secretary as well, and we've landed that project. So infrastructurally, we feel we're in a very strong, vibrant place. We're with the most members of any club in Antrim. Probably the most, I don't know, I often mean to phone Ulster Council and ask, we're probably one of the biggest clubs in Ulster with 1,164 members registered, with Croke Park, over 650 of whom are juveniles. We field in all four codes at every age group growing up. And that strength, that drive, that everybody sees, you know, the Camogues will see the hurlers out training, and you know, the underage girls footballers will, you know, everybody was inspired by the senior footballers when they got to the Larne final. That was a journey that I just wish every club could experience. It was the most magical time of our lives as a club, that, you know, we would be live on TV on TG Cahir, or we, you know, in the Ulster Championship. Well, to win Antrim, we had, our senior footballers had never won a county championship before, junior, right, intermediate or senior. So it was the first county championship that we ever won in football. And to then go on a crazy, you know, magical mystery tour in the Ulster Championship, we beat the champions of Tyrone, Monaghan, two counties who had been in the previous year's All-Ireland semi-final. Cavan Gales, one of the most successful teams in Cavan history. Or sorry, Mullaghorn. You know, so we're beating strong teams from football backgrounds, and then all of a sudden you're in an All-Ireland semi-final. Spittle, and there was a whole Irish language influence there. TG Cahir wanted they knew of our profile in terms of the promotion of the language, and Spittle obviously is a Gaeltacht club.
Yeah.
And you know, my abiding memory of that match is Joe Maskey's goal from from midfield.
Yeah. I was just like, and
he has tried it since, but has never come off again. But just a magical, magical day in all of our lives, never mind the club. And the memories that has forged in our juveniles, I know that there's going to be a very strong payback from that in 5-10 years time. And you can see it. Our kids are obsessed with the club, with Gaelic games, with their Gaelic identity. And it's just something that's so magical to have been a part of. And between the strong representation and competition within all of our juvenile panels, as well as our strong cultural profile, with the benefit of the Gael Skull and with a community organisation, Cree Aina, the Soul of Aina, and everybody works together. This last year we've set up a Tuscal, which is like Bright Start, and quite literally we have cots that you can leave your child with us literally from cradle, wraparound care, breakfast clubs, after school clubs, again through the medium of Irish. So our club is really a kernel backbone of the wider community in Glencormley, and that's not something that you often see in the city. It's a hard relationship to develop. We are at it this past 15 years. It didn't happen overnight, but we hope we're seeing the benefits of it. You know, two Ulster championships, the hurlers. It reminded me of when Tyrone went and won the All-Ireland after Armagh won it.
Yeah.
Once Armagh won it, Tyrone could rest.
Yeah, Tyrone could not win it.
No, my dad's from Blackwater Town, which is on the border with Tyrone and the Moy, and they used to have the banter with each other, that the took each other's legs down and left the Union's X up. But Tyrone couldn't settle until they won in All-Ireland, and Armagh doing it pushed Tyrone over the edge. Similarly, our hurlers, and I'm not saying there's a rivalry there, there's a fantastic mutual respect, but once the footballers showed that it could be done and did it, the hurlers did it the next year.
Yeah.
And once the footballers demonstrated we can win the Ulster Championship, that paved the way for the hurlers to do it as well. And that, that culture, the habit of winning, all lent itself to success. And we got beat in the All-Ireland football final by a Kerry team, which is really a Kerry senior football team. And we got beat in the All-Ireland semi-final by Tullerone from Kilkenny, whose full forward line was led by Tommy Walsh, 9 All-Ireland medals. So with no shame.
No.
With no shame.
Yeah.
When you're bit by a Kilkenny hurling team and a Kerry football team, and you've done your best, well, just go back to the club and have a good party, and that's what we did.
Yeah, and actually, just when you mentioned about the success, and I think for any club to see, young people watching anyway, to see their, you know, their club jerseys in Croke Park, you know, out in the field, it's just that surreal feeling that you know it kind of can do nothing but kind of inspire for future generations.
That's you're 100% right. And you know, the name recognition, all the kids, you know, Joe Maskey's like Cúchulainn, or Philly Curran, or James McCauley, or Oran Eastwood. All these lads are role models for these juveniles, and they're fantastic role models. There's not one thing that we asked of any senior hurler or footballer over the past couple of years to do for our juveniles that they didn't do, turning up, taking coaching sessions, going into all the primary schools, well, right the way down the Antrim Road, presenting medals, turning up at doing Santa, you know, anything any one of those lads was asked to do, they did it, and they did it with a smile on their face. And it just speaks to the positive energy that's flowing through our club at the moment, and we're going to keep driving on. We want to win a senior championship. And with a new football manager in place, Carl McCabe comes a very good pedigree, has managed St Gall's to a senior championship, managed his own club, Omas and Enda's, last year, has managed a lot of our lads in county minor teams over the years. So he has an understanding of our panel and our youth profile. I think our average age of our senior football team is about 23. And you know, we will not be fearing anybody in the senior football championship next year.
Yeah, it's a big aspirations there. Look, I suppose just to finish off, if we bring it back then to Clubby Antrima, like if you were to say kind of why people should go and sign up now, clubbyantrima.com, what would be your one sentence pitch to them?
Support Antrim, support the Saffs. You know, it's our team. The lads, every single intercounty player, no matter what team they're representing, the work that they are putting in is phenomenal. And it's morning, noon and night. It's watching what they eat. It's the personal work that they're doing themselves in the gym to keep themselves right. It's not socializing when the rest of us are enjoying themselves, and the time that they invest in training to get themselves right to be intercounty athletes, which is what they are. And any resource that any one of the management teams asks for, I firmly believe within reason they should get it. And the best way that we can resource our county teams is through fundraising. So if you're a business, please consider joining the Saffron Business Forum. Tony Shivers is the most easily contactable man in Antrim GA. You'll find him. And if you're a man, woman or child, a citizen that just wants to support your county teams for £10 a month, clubantrim.com will sign you up. And the best emails that I receive are the emails from or the website that we use. So when somebody signs up, I get a ding almost immediately. So I know if you've signed up. If you told me you're signing up and you didn't, I know. But more importantly, when Jane Adams has 10 Rossa Camogue signed up, I get those as well. So they go straight into our WhatsApp group. But on a serious note, please consider joining Club Antrima. All the funds go to the right place. You can be assured of that. And, you know, we are beginning to see the green shoots in our various county teams coming through. So we're going the right way.
Great. Look, Niall, thanks very much for joining me and sharing all that. It's great to get chatting to you, and there's been fantastic work in recent years as well. I'm looking forward to see what 2021 brings for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Hello, it's Connor here, and thank you for subscribing to the SAFcast on Patreon. You'll get early access to episodes such as this, as well as bonus episodes, and also the opportunity to request your own show topics. So thank you for subscribing and enjoy the show.